he's responded, and we move on. But your thoughts about, first of all, the suspension and how the SEC and Tennessee has responded to it?
You know, I think I'm frankly okay with all of it. I think it's the right thing to suspend them. I thought it was a pretty egregious move, and you can sort of spin it however you please, but, you know, that wasn't a good look. But guys make mistakes, and that means he's a bad kid. But that said, you know, I'm also okay with Tennessee supporting him. I mean, that's kind of their job, is to support their players. You know, if Juwan has contended and said that it was unintentional or misinterpreted or whatever you want to call it, I'm okay with Tennessee standing behind their guy as well. So, you know, I think the some sort of disciplinary action was appropriate, you know, not shocked and not even really bothered too much by Tennessee coming to his defense.
See, I'm different, and maybe it's because I worked in athletics. You can come to his defense, but at the same time, those words tell me you condone his behavior. And that's where I have a problem, because to me, a statement along the lines, you know, you can say all you want about him being great, that's fine. You include that in your comments and your quote. But along the lines, you also got to say these are teaching moments, and Juwan will learn from this moving on. Yeah, something along those lines. But that statement to me tells me we totally disagree with what the SEC has done, but we'll honor it and we'll move on. And to me, you're allowing and sending a statement saying basically, you know, we disagree. We think it was fine for Juwan Jennings to respond the way he did in the game. And so, but hey, that's our hands are tied in this situation. And I think that's a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, that's. You know, I certainly get that perspective, and I think that's fair. You know, again, I think I always come at these from the approach of, you know, we don't really know what those conversations are. I haven't heard what Juwan's quotes, you know, side of the story is, so to speak. And without some of that context, you know, I'm always a little hesitant to just sort of condone Tennessee's approach to it. You know, but again, from the SEC's perspective, I think that was the appropriate thing to do to discipline Juwan. And hey, you know, Tennessee is you know, it's kind of the way that, you know, they've been the biggest supporters, and you know, Jeremy Pruitt has been as outwardly outspoken in how much he loves Juwan throughout the season. So. You know, not terribly surprised that they are taking the side in this one as well.
All right, so last night we got our next to last rankings from the College Football Playoff Committee. Can I just throw it out there? I think it's been too easy on this committee. I think they've been enjoying their steak and lobster too much in these deliberations. I want chaos. I want Ohio State to lose. I want LSU to lose. I want Clemson to lose. I want this to be where all of a sudden, instead of worrying about five or six teams, they've got to worry about eight or nine teams and really make it difficult, because no matter what they do at that point, there's going to be not just one or two disappointed teams. There'll probably be almost a handful of disappointed teams. That's what I want to happen over the weekend.
Yeah, no, I think they the committee caught a break last weekend when Alabama lost. I was really going to be fascinated to see how the committee was going to handle a one-loss Alabama, only loss being to the number two team in the country, and yet non-division champ, hadn't played anyone in the non-conference, hadn't really played anyone in conference to speak of. Without the star player, comparing that resume and that clearly really strong opinion of Alabama with a conference champion, one loss out of the Big 12 or Pac-12, that was going to be a defining moment for the playoff committee. That was going to be a decision and a spot that the committee had yet to be in terms of comparing, you know, sort of truly defining the value of a conference championship. So I'm with you in the sense, you know, just the intrigue of it, the debate that was going to spur. But there's also part of me that does like this thing to end clean. So we really truly know who the best team in the country is and who is the most deserving team to get in. There's an element of that at play that I'm inclined to lean towards as well, because ultimately, I like knowing who the best team in college football is.
I look at the top four right now, and let's just say Clemson holds serve, they win the ACC. But here's the other part. Georgia beats LSU. So, and then also, let's throw into that mix as well, Ohio State loses for the first time. If Ohio State and LSU both lose, and if they lose, like, close games per se, only thing I think we will see changed is just the order of finish. I don't think we see a change as far as the top four, because with Ohio State suffering their first loss, with LSU suffering their first loss, you can look at the resumes of Utah, Oklahoma, Baylor, whatever the case may be. I still don't think it matches what LSU and Ohio State's accomplished this year.
Yeah, I think that I agree. LSU's in regardless, and Ohio State's in regardless. So let's just say those two lose, then Georgia would certainly be in. So there's your three. I think Clemson is probably in regardless as well. It's hard to even envision Clemson losing to Virginia. But if it did, I guess there's where you start to see the chaos you're talking about, and what would the committee do? Because then you're going to have a one-loss conference champion out of the Big 12 at least, and perhaps out of the Pac-12 as well. And so we've really thought for a long time that these top three teams, and still do, are a tier above, clearly a tier above. And so this tier above, when it gets muddied by a failure to win a conference championship, and there's a one-loss team that's got a conference championship on his resume, again, that puts the committee quite in a pickle. So I think all three of the top three are in with a loss, and yet if all three lose, then I guess that changes the dynamic a little bit and makes it an even trickier situation to judge and navigate.
See, I'm not going to give you Clemson. To me, Clemson reminds me so much of Florida State in 2014. You know, the committee was
don't do it. No.
I'm going to say it. The committee was just waiting for Jameis Winston and Florida State to lose to bump them out of the because here's the thing. Clemson, with the fact that the reigning national champs, you know, they're in there. And I know this really goes down that path where Dabo Sweeney has been preaching and all this time, too.
It kind of plays. Dabo's talking to you, Johnny. Talking to you.
He kind of.
He's talking to me.
To me.
I think Clemson has been totally dominant ever since that North Carolina game. And that North Carolina game was that was a season ago.
But who have they? I mean, Bama was dominating too in 10 of their 12 games. The only two they were not.
But they weren't even dominating to the degree that Clemson has been. Clemson hasn't been within 35 points since September. The defense hasn't even been tested. They are playing right now better than anyone in the country. And if you look at that Florida State team, and because I made the same comparison very early in the season. But if you look at that Florida State team, it messed around with opponents all year long. Clemson stopped that nonsense in week four.
Who did they play?
They played everyone that the schedule presented to them.
I know, but give me tell me how they did against the ranked. Oh, you can't tell me about that because they don't have one.
but Clemson's players can only play who's put in front of them, and we can't sit here and crown teams based on what the schedule presented to them, because these guys can't help what the schedule presented to them. We shouldn't be creating playoffs based on athletic directors. We should be creating playoffs based on the guys on the field. And all Clemson's done, and it's not as if they've been in, Trevor Lawrence in the fourth quarter just trying to make things look good. I mean, Wake Forest was a top 25 team when Clemson played them, and Clemson was like a 35-point favorite and covered. So I think
Wake Forest. Wait. Wake Forest was not a top 25 team when they played, and they played them late. And Wake Forest was already going into their woes of having a terrible second half of the season.
Well, they were a two-loss team when Clemson played them. I mean, they were if they weren't in the top 25 at that point, they had been in the previous week, and so. This is, I think, the idea that Clemson, I mean, they're still playing a Power 5 schedule. They're still, and not only they're winning, but they are dominating on both sides of the ball. and their whole starting unit is out well before the fourth quarter. So I just think it's hard to penalize a group of players for not having a strong conference. It's still, they didn't choose this schedule. They didn't choose this conference. They played a quality non-conference opponent in Texas A&M. Like, I don't know what else you want Clemson to do. And so I think that Clemson, right, like, they're my pick to win the national championship. I think they're playing as well as anyone in the country, and I think they win the national championship as of right now.
I mean, I look at the fact that Clemson, you look at Texas A&M, a Clemson win by two touchdowns. This is also a game where A&M played horribly in the first three quarters, and yet they only still win by two touchdowns in that one. And then we talk about the North Carolina game, where North Carolina decides to go for two instead of kicking the extra point, and with a minute to go, and that game maybe goes into overtime at that point. We don't know how it plays out. I'm just saying that, you know, it's fair or not, but you look at Clemson and you look at, and this is a message, and we're starting to see that trend now as far as future scheduling, like into the next decade, where these teams are getting a couple of, in their non-conference, a couple of Power 5 conference teams on that schedule. But the bottom line is, there's too many teams that have been penalized about it, too. You can say, well, they took care of business as far as what's on their schedule. But their schedule, the ACC is weak. The ACC is very weak this year. You got a lot of okay teams. There's no great teams. Clemson has not been challenged in three seasons now in the ACC.
But I know, but that's not Clemson's fault. You know, I mean, Clemson, again, they scheduled Texas A&M, they have South Carolina on the schedule, and they blew those teams out. And you say that
they didn't blow A&M out. They blowed South Carolina, but A&M was a
21-point game and Texas A&M scored in with 10 seconds left. I mean, that's a blowout. They beat them by 20. It was never close. It was never in doubt.
Right.
But Alabama beat Texas A&M by 19 points. I mean, I think, again, look, if we're talking and it's September 30th right now, then all of what you're saying is valid, because North Carolina is a game that was a real tar on the resume. Because when you compare Clemson to everyone else, all the Clemson being outside the top four, that was all valid at that point, because they were not playing as well as the other teams in the country. But I think you have to evaluate teams in present tense and what a team has become. And since that day, since September 28th, they haven't been within 35 points of any opponent. And it's not like they're playing a bunch of bums. They're playing teams that they're playing bowl football teams.
Wow.
And so I think Dabo Swinney is, he's trying to motivate this team by screaming from the mountaintops. And I'm trying to defuse that, because I believe in this Clemson team, and they've been playing as well as anyone in the country. Dabo's going to clip this off and give it to his.
Well, but here's the thing, and this is where the national media is sick of it too, and I'm sick of it. This is where Dabo Swinney has nothing else. He has nothing else as far as a motivational factor, as far as his team. So he has to play. Oh, we're the Davids again. We're the Davids versus the Goliaths. Nobody is buying into that. Except that's, he's got the. I'm not buying into him being a Dave. My thing is, you look at Ohio State.
But you're buying into them not being as good as the other top teams.
I'm just saying, look, you're in this situation fine and dandy, but you got to continue taking care of business, because you look at the teams who, like Ohio State, number one, they're playing number eight. Number two, LSU's playing number four, LSU. Number five, Utah is playing number 13, Oregon. Number six, Oklahoma is playing number seven, Baylor. And then we get Clemson. At least they're playing a ranked team, but you have to go into the teens. No, you have to go, there they are, number 23rd ranked Virginia. And see, that's where the problem is.
Well,
I'm just saying right now, they better not lose Saturday.
Well, you could be right. I think that what they've done is plenty to get in, because, when you look at the way they've been handling their business, the way they've been beating teams, this isn't 2014 Florida State. I mean, that team was. I just pulled up their schedule as I'm sitting here talking to you. Like that was a 24-19 win over Florida, 20-17 over unranked Boston College, 30-26 over unranked Miami, 34-20 over unranked Virginia. Like, they were messing around with you. This Clemson team hasn't even sniffed a close game, and we're talking about teams that aren't juggernauts. I'll grant you that. They're not top 25 teams, but they're still bowl teams. They're still teams that get 7 wins, and Clemson is absolutely pounding them. Yeah. And I think that that's the way you win, the way you navigate the schedule that you have no control over, I think is of note. And again, it's not as if we can penalize, or I don't think we should penalize them as if this is Baylor with scheduling UTSA and Rice in the non-conference. It's A&M and South Carolina are on the non-conference schedule for Clemson. I don't know what more we can ask of this team from a scheduling perspective other than just go take care of what you're doing on the schedule.
And they'll know this coming on before they kick off on Saturday, but if Utah takes care of business on Friday night over Oregon, if you're Clemson, you better win your game, especially if Georgia is knocked off LSU. Because if those two things happen, Utah wins and Georgia beats LSU in a close game, Clemson with a loss, I think they are the fifth team and the first team out.
That is not a gamble I would take if I'm Clemson to lose in that conference championship with a Utah win, and certainly when you add in a Georgia win as well. I'm with you on that. There are circumstances for sure that really compromise their standing. I think if chalk plays out, Clemson loses, Clemson's probably still in. But all that said, you know, we're spending a lot of time talking about a scenario that is incredibly unlikely. I think that Clemson more than likely wins another game by 35 plus.
If it had been Virginia, I would feel much better about the team opposing Clemson if it was Virginia Tech and their chances. I don't like Virginia's chances at all against Clemson, so I think none of this really is going to matter anyway. Virginia Tech, to me, was the team that was best suited to give Clemson a challenge. And unfortunately for Virginia Tech, they lost on Friday against Virginia, and so we're not going to have that conversation.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think Virginia's a really good team, but I think that there are some qualities, some traits, characteristics you've got to have to beat this Clemson team. And one of those is some offensive versatility. And I just don't think Virginia has that.
We should have a three-way conversation sometimes. You, Barrett Salee, and myself. We'll see how that plays out.
there's some varying opinions in that group.
I totally agree with that. Hey, before we let you go, first of all, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Let our listeners know again the different ways to keep up with your coverage.